I'm sure looking forward to getting back together with everybody and appreciate your patience and faith and your prayers and in the time being. I'd like to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. We'll read the first 10 verses. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." I'm getting just this monitor's just a little hot. Thank you. And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, I called thee not. Lie down again. And he went and laid down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Isn't this something? He was raised in church, and yet he doesn't know the Lord. He thinks he does, but... And the Lord called Samuel again a third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and laid down in his place. Notice it wasn't in some special place. It wasn't, with shrines, stained glass windows. It was in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered and said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." I'd like to also read just one scripture from Revelation chapter 3, the 20th verse. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. And we'll sup with him, and he with me." Now, how are you going to do this if you can't hear his voice?
Right.
And how can you hear his voice if he's not speaking? Mm-hmm. So in order for this scripture to be fulfilled, he has to speak. And you have to have the ability to hear. Yeah. I'd like to title the thought this morning for the next few moments, "Hearing His Voice." Hearing His Voice. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we stand before you once again, Lord, as we prayed before the service started, and Lord, we express to you what a privilege and an honor it is to serve you at this time and as at other times. And Lord, we know that you're completely in control. You're completely in charge. And our trust is in you. We're listening to your voice. We're following your leading in our lives. And Lord, we're not without a vision. We're not without the word of the Lord in this hour. And so, Lord, we can look through the smoke and the turmoil in these kind of times, and we can see the finish line, Lord, and we can see the back of the book, and we can see how things end up and how they work out, knowing, Lord, that whether things are good or whether they're bad, you make all things work together for good to those that love you, that are called by your name, by your grace. And so, Lord, we stand here this morning and we ask that you'd speak to each and every heart, Lord, that you'd help us to get out of the way, Lord, both the speaker and the hearer. For, Lord, it would do no good for you to speak if we're not in the right frame of mind to listen. And it would do us no good to listen if you're not speaking. So, Lord, we just ask that you'd work on each and every end as we surrender to you. And we surely give you the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So in 1 Samuel, we read about a time when the people of God, they hadn't heard his voice for many, many years, except on rare occasions. There were no open visions that were coming to the prophets that would then be brought by the prophets to the people. And the minister Eli, he had once served the Lord, and he'd kept his word, and he'd ministered his word among the people. But Eli got away from God, and instead of, now I don't believe that he just intentionally got away from God. And we know that he didn't say, well, I'm not going to serve God anymore, but he began to cool off. And he got away from God, and instead of bringing the people his word, he taught the people the things that the people wanted to hear. He became political, and he was more concerned about what people thought than what God thought. And he had his sons take the best of the offerings that were offered up by the people, and taking up of the offering ended up becoming the main thing. It was more important than the bringing forth of the word, and the people really didn't miss the bringing forth of the word of the Lord. Oh, there was word being brought forth, but it was no longer the word of the Lord. They were careless in the handling of the word of the Lord, and it was a rare thing that the word of God would be heard amongst them at all. So the church had lost its vision, and the scriptures tell us that a people without a vision will perish. So the word of the Lord gradually was replaced increasingly by traditions of men and by form and by rituals and by ceremony and all these other peripheral things and true sincerity. It got to the place where true sincerity was hard to find, as was a broken and contrite spirit before the Lord. So the tabernacle of the Lord at this particular time was in Shiloh. In Hebrew it would be pronounced Shiloh, where it had been since the children of Israel had settled in the land and that had been promised to their forefathers and to them. Many battles had been fought to get there, and then the inhabitants of the land had to be conquered, had to be driven away, and they established this tabernacle, and they were a blessed people. But as we see time and time again, Israel would often backslide and move away from the Lord in times of prosperity. And of course, this was under the covenant of the bulls and goats and the shed blood of bulls and goats that were being offered. So there was no nature change that would take place on the inside. And there was no baptism of the Holy Ghost, which would bring keeping power into your life to keep you regardless of what was going on in the world. It would keep the believer throughout the journey. And friends, if the Holy Ghost can't keep us, we have no chance in this. We will all, it won't be by might, it won't be by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So in the good times, the church became more interested in numbers, and they were more focused on creeds and dogmas, and they were focused on competition for church members, and the word of the Lord was watered down to match what many people wanted to hear, because they were in a lukewarm condition. The desire to hear the voice of God was no longer there, unless it was God giving them a sign of approval. So they were in the land of promise, and their enemies were scattered for the most part, and the land was a good land that yielded up much more fruit with a whole lot less labor than other places in the world, and the people were distracted at this time from their purpose. And in times of distraction, they begin to listen to other voices in place of hearing the voice of God in their lives. And God set things up. God wants to speak to us personally. God wants to lead his children personally. God wants to be your comfort, your guide. He wants to be your provider. He wants to be your instructor. He wants to be your all in all. And there's no way that he could be your all in all and never speak to you. So they began to listen to other voices, and Brother Branham put it this way, voices of pleasure. They were too busy seeking these and listening to these voices of pleasure, and they no longer were seeking to listen to the voice of God, and they weren't even really conscious of how this came about, and or even focused on it. They thought that this was just kind of the normal, it's sin's increment. They thought that this was the normal way to be. And the voice of pleasure is just one of the many voices that are in the world that are sent to take our attention away from God in our lives. So when Israel was under persecution, when Israel was under pressure, they cried out to the Lord and they asked him for help, and they strained and listened for his voice, and they cried out for a deliverer to be sent and for their needs to be met. But once they were in the land and they began to settle down, and the Lord was no longer their pleasure. The Lord was no longer their portion. The things of the world had become their pleasure instead. And it didn't happen all at once, as we said. It was a gradual cooling off. And you don't backslide all at once either. There's just a cooling off that takes place. And then other things get in the way. And other things become our focus if we're not careful. So they still said a prayer before their meal. And but it was probably half-hearted. It might have been some kind of a rote, memorized thing. Lord, thank you for the food. Bless it to our bodies. And in Jehovah's name or what have you. They still thanked the Lord in the morning they got up and thanked him for the new day and thanked him for the opportunity to serve him perhaps. And they still asked for the Lord to bless them. And they still asked for the Lord to keep them through the night perhaps. And they still sang songs to him at the tabernacle or synagogues or wherever they were gathered. But they had gotten to the place where they weren't really talking with God any longer. And they weren't even really aware of it. Their prayers were all one-way prayers. Lord, do this. Lord, fix that. Lord, I need help here. Lord, make this happen. Lord, make a way here. Lord, stop this person. Correct that one. Forgive, whatever. But it was one way. There was no two-way conversation. So there's no way for you to hear the voice of God if you're doing all the talking. They did the talking for a minute or so, and then no doubt went about their business and probably felt like they'd done their religious duty. And no doubt if you were to listen in on their conversations, the discussions were around maybe the latest play or maybe the latest party or the latest sporting event or whatever it might have been. Now, friends, these things in and of themselves are not necessarily wrong, but excuse me, there's nothing wrong with me this morning. Excuse me. These things, we're not naming these things as, you know, as if we're supposed to live some kind of monastic life up on a mountain somewhere, and, you know, with a haircut, where just a bald spot on the top of the head, and wear a burlap sack for a robe or whatever. But these things became their satisfying portion instead of the voice of God in their lives. And as you notice, we're under a quarantine. And, the word quarantine actually comes from the Roman word, the quarantine there. It means 40. And 40 days is a time of tribulation when judgment is being poured out. But we're hid safely in the Lord at all times. So, if you were to listen to their conversations, the focus was on all these other pleasures instead of the Lord being their portion, the Lord being their pleasure. And so when these things take the place of what we actually desire in our fellowship and our relationship with the Lord, well, then they become sin. And as you notice, during this quarantine, these are the things that are shut down for the most part. There's some perversions in there, but for the most part, these are the things that have been shut down. So to seek the Lord in prayer, they had too many things to do. To find time to do that. You know, this was pulling on them, that was pulling on them. And when you're no longer hearing his voice, you begin to hear from the multitude of other voices that are out there. And these other voices are out there to take our attention away from God. There's only one voice that we need to hear, and that's His voice. So how much like today were the conditions of Israel at this time? There were so many voices in that day, and there are so many voices in this day. In fact, there's never been so many voices as there are in our day. There's so much discussion around what these other voices are saying as well. And, you know, we bring up one pertinent example because I think it's fitting this morning for the home church. As an example, most of the nations of the world are on a quarantine and their economies are shut down while this virus moves through the nations. And decisions were made by most governments to quarantine the people because this virus is so contagious and because it's so deadly for a certain part of the population, mainly those that are over 60 and or those that have health conditions that cause them to have life and death battles with this virus. And those that have those conditions, over 50% of them end up dying. If they stay longer than 2 weeks in a hospital, they usually don't come out. They come out in a pine box. So for those of us that are trained in scientific methods and know how to interpret data and then act on data versus acting on opinion or rumors, it's clear to us that quarantining has saved many lives. And it's kept our healthcare systems from becoming overloaded as they have in England and Italy and other places, to the point where choices had to be made on who lives and who dies because not enough care was available. There's no question that it's created a hardship on all of us. And it's been harder, no doubt, on some than it has been on others. But it's the right thing to do. And we're getting through it. And our businesses will open again soon. Meanwhile, therapies are being developed and there's a search on for vaccines. I think there's 70 different vaccines that are being worked on at this time. And in order to protect us from future pandemics from this same virus that had never come in contact with humans before. So will we learn from this pandemic? Absolutely. Will we do some things different in the future than what we did this time? Well, you can count on it. But is this the right course for us to take? The answer is yes. But meanwhile, there are many voices out there that are claiming to have a better answer. While we're still in the middle of the pandemic, there's plenty of time to discuss this afterwards. Now, this is nothing new. There have always been what we call armchair quarterbacks. But usually the armchair quarterbacking takes place on Monday after the game, not while the game is still going on. Oh, there's a few yells, well, dumb quarterback or bad ref or why'd he do this or that. But usually the second guessing takes place the next day. And of course, hindsight's 20/20. And people are listening to 5-minute speeches from the many so-called experts out there, and they're being persuaded by emotional arguments and by opinion versus scientific evidence and facts. The facts speak for themselves. And many of those that are speaking out, they have medical backgrounds or maybe they're a professor at a university. So they come and it sounds like they've got authority. But just because you're intelligent, just because you're educated, doesn't mean that you have the right answer. It doesn't mean that you're working with following the scientific method and so on. So many of them have medical backgrounds and perhaps even work in the medical field. Some of them just want to be heard, and this is their opportunity. But it's very careless because lives are at stake, and they're casually putting themselves up on soapboxes and professing themselves, well, I got the answer, and if you know, we need to do just the opposite of what we're doing right now. So that's a voice. It's a voice. They speak with, many of them speak with conviction, and they may actually, some of them may actually believe that what they're trying to say is the truth. but they are actually doing more harm than good because they're attempting to undermine what is currently being done. You know, there'll be arguments such as, well, this is no different than the flu. And, you know, the flu killed 30,000 people last year. Well, if this is no different than the flu, then why have 20,000 people died in New York? And that's not counting the rest of the country. Why have over 50,000 people died, and many, many more would have if this was no different than the flu? So they have an audience, which is why they're speaking. And what makes our day a little bit more unique is the fact that we have so much access to so much social media and news, and it's instantaneous, and anybody can speak. And there's very, very little fact-checking that is being done. And in all fairness, by the time you do some fact-checking, the news cycle's already moved on, and people don't go back. A lot of times, they just read the headline, and they're sold on it. And maybe there's some truth later down in the article, but the headline generally isn't representative. But everybody now is an expert after they listen to one or two five-minute videos by a so-called self-claimed expert, and they're so quick to tell other people, you know what, I've heard the truth. And this so-called truth, most often it sounds like there's some sort of a conspiracy that's going on, as if the government would shut down the economy for some secret reason. You know, it's kind of like people that believe that we never went to the moon. And they say that that was all a conspiracy. Well, if that's the case, you know, the Russians had their telescopes pointed to the moon. They saw us land. We didn't land on the dark side of the moon. We landed in the Sea of Tranquility in broad daylight, so to speak. And they saw it. Well, the Russians must have been on it too. Okay, so it's a really big conspiracy now, right? So this is some kind of big worldwide. The whole world wants to kill the economy, and yeah, that makes so much sense. As if the government would shut down the economy for some secret reason. As if the president in an election year would shut down the economy, the thing he's running on, for some dark reasons. And what would that dark reason be? And it's usually those that don't trust leaders that get caught up in these conspiracies, and they end up leading other people into a rebellion against their leaders. Now, friends, this is not the time to rebel. This is a time to get behind what's being done. You know, either if you believe in doctors, go to the doctor, but don't go to a doctor and then criticize doctors. Either believe in it or don't believe in it. Whatever it is, this is not the time for conspiracies. This is not the time for other voices to raise up. And the root of the matter is that all the voices that are out there are not all the right voices. Well, Brother Baker, how do you know what to believe? Well, let me answer that question with a more basic one. Why are you listening to those other voices? What does the Lord have to say to you? Oh, well, I didn't ask, obviously. What does his word tell us to do? Well, what do you think? Who cares what I think or you think or somebody else? Well, who should we listen to, Brother Baker? Well, social media has become a pulpit, and everybody's now a minister. Yet, so many complain that they don't have time to pray, and they don't have time to read their Bibles. Well, I guarantee you, they do have time right now. The question is, what are they doing with their time? So the key is to get on your knees and stay there until other voices are silenced. Sure. Until you hear one voice. Because there's one voice out there that's right and everything else is wrong. God said, let my word be the truth and every man's word be a lie. God still speaks. And the voice of God still waits to speak to you. I've been quoting some quotes here. But we have to stop long enough to hear his voice. Amen. So Moses, let's just look at a couple of examples here this morning. Moses went 80 years without hearing the voice of God in his life. Isn't that something? He was raised with the understanding that he would be the deliverer, that he was pulled out of the Nile and the crocodiles couldn't touch the basket, and there were some cruel women that never had any children of their own and were just cruel hearted, that were taking babies and throwing them in the Nile River and the crocodiles were eating them up. But this particular basket had a deliverer that was placed in that basket, and the angels of the Lord watched over it, and Moses was pulled out of the Nile by by the princess, his sister looking upon, and his mother was called in to be his nursemaid. And so he was told by his mother and by so many others that he was going to be this deliverer that was going to be used by God to take Israel out from underneath the bondage of Egypt and lead them into the promised land. And Moses was... Throughout this 80-year time period, he was full of church theology, and he was full of military training, and he had spent 40 years planning on how he would do this as the next Pharaoh of Egypt, because he's the next one to be on the throne. So he's got an idea how this is going to be done, and his mind is just filled with that. And all he accomplished in the end was to kill one Egyptian. He had so many thoughts on the matter, as did so many others. There were so many voices that were speaking at that time. Lots of voices. So God had to take Moses out, away from everything that he knew, and spend another 40 years getting Moses ready to hear his voice. And after this additional 40 years, Moses stood before a burning bush, and he heard the voice of God as he spoke to him personally. Now, friends, what we need to do is just wait on him to speak to us. He'll speak to you. His desire is to speak to you, is to walk with you and talk with you along the way. Well, how long do I have to wait? However long it takes. If you don't hear from him today, seek him tomorrow. If you don't hear from him tomorrow, seek until you find. Knock until it's open. Ask until it's given to you. Wait however long it takes, in other words. So Moses waited until he heard that voice and was sure that he heard from him. Now, you might ask yourself, 80 years, really? Why did it, 120 years, why did it take so long for God to speak to his prophet? Well, there's a lot of answers to that question, but when did Moses actually seek the Lord is a better question. So Moses then waited in this kind of desert place until he heard that voice and was sure that it was the voice of God that was speaking to him. How about the prophet Isaiah? This prophet was loved by King Uzziah, and King Uzziah, so Isaiah leaned upon him, and Uzziah was a righteous man in those days, and Uzziah knew that Isaiah was a prophet. He could see the hand of the Lord on him, and he kind of spoiled him. He kind of gave him whatever it was that he asked for, but then the king eventually died, and then Isaiah had to go it alone from that point on. He was kind of leaning on the king until then, but now he had to walk alone, which each and every one of us has to get to that place where we're walking alone with the Lord if we want to hear from the Lord. So he looked around him and he began to see that everybody wasn't like this good king that he'd been so blessed to be raised up under. And so one day he went to the temple and he began to cry out to the Lord. And he said, "Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. And not only am I unclean, but I dwell amongst an unclean people." And he had, up until that time, he thought he was a pretty good guy. And in many ways, he was. But he had to get desperate.
And he had to, in his desperation, he finds out, I'm not good. There's none good before the Lord. He saw these winged cherubims, and they had a set of wings covering their faces, a set of wings covering their feet, and another set of the wings keeping them aloft. And they sang, holy, 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 in the presence of the Lord continuously. And every time they said it, it wasn't vain repetition, like some kind of a repeat prayer where your mind's somewhere else. Every time it was a fresh revelation. Every time it was holy, holy, holy. And to be, and they knew no sin. They had committed no sin. And yet to be in the presence of the Lord, they had to have their face covered and their feet covered. And they hovered before the Lord. And Isaiah saw this, and it so stirred him. And he so recognized that how man is fallen and how man is unclean in himself and how man needs a Savior. How man needs someone to clean him. He said, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst an unclean people. Friends, he got desperate, and he found out that he was unclean. He got desperate, and he repented of his sin. And he not only repented for himself, but he repented for the people. He cried out, stood in the gap, and a voice spoke back to him and said, who will go for us? He said, God, you know, I would go, but I have unclean lips. I'm not qualified. I'm no better than the rest. We all need you, Lord. I need you. The people need you. I can't do anything to myself, and I know that now, Lord. So one of the angels went to the altar, to the golden censer, and pulled out this coal, this flaming coal from the brazen altar, and brought it over and touched his lips. And a voice said, now you are clean. Go and speak the word. Now your lips are clean because I have made you righteous. I have burned, as a type of the Holy Spirit, I've burned away the uncleanness, and I'm going to use your lips. And we know that later on, much later on in his life, Isaiah ended up penning 66 books, which actually represents, you can see the entire Bible represented in the book of Isaiah. There's 66 books in the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, and every part of that is contained somewhere in the writings of Isaiah. How about Daniel? Daniel was down, and we spoke about the three Hebrew children a little bit on Wednesday. Daniel was down in Babylon at the same time, and he kept himself from the doctrines that others were going off into. There were a lot of Jews that had been brought into Babylon that were assimilating, taking on the Babylonish ideas, dressing as the Babylonish did, eating, adopting their culture, assimilating basically. But Daniel kept himself separate, as did others at that time, excuse me, and he kept himself away from the doctrines of Babylon and the customs and so forth. But it wasn't enough. He got desperate, and he needed to hear from God, and he wanted to hear from God, and he went. He didn't go to the church to do it. He got away from everything and waited until he went down. The scripture tells us he went down by a river, and it was 21 days before he heard a voice. 21 days. Now, he didn't know that he was going to hear a voice on the 21st day. So imagine how he felt each and every day leading up. But he was waiting until, friends, the reason why was because there was a desire down in his heart. There was a hunger. There was a thirst for righteousness. There was a desire to hear from God. There was a need to get an answer. And even though the scripture hadn't been penned yet, it would be penned in the New Testament, ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened. That word was still true. There was a desire down in his heart to hear from God. He didn't want other people's opinions and other people's voices and this and that. He wanted to hear from God himself. And so that desire caused him to wait until. And God doesn't tell us when he's going to speak or how long. A lot of times it's dependent on us. How long does it take you to get out of the way? How long does it take you to quit listening to other voices? Friends, I don't know about you, but You know, my, I'll take this as an example as it comes to me. I love my grandchildren, and they're no different than anybody else. They're no worse, or, you know, so this is just the way children are. Sometimes I'll be having a conversation, and then the grandchild will come up and want to talk to mom or dad, and they don't wait for the conversation to be over. They just start speaking. And I find it difficult to continue the conversation while this other conversation is going on. You understand? And so, you know, I realize that mom and dad are raising them properly, and they'll get through this, and we'll all get through it, and it's not the end of the world, and we all had to learn this. But the point is, in order to hear one conversation, you have to wait until another conversation stops. You can't listen to several voices at the same time, because it's confusion. It's just, you know, which voice are you going to listen to? Which one's right? What's your desire? Is your desire to hear truth, or is your desire to do you have an itching ear and you just want to hear something? So that desire that was down in him caused him to wait until. Now, friends, if we were to put ourselves in his shoes, we weren't there, but, you know, people don't change and times don't change and the devil certainly doesn't change. So I imagine that there were a lot of people that were trying to give him advice at that time. Well, I think this and I think that and I think this. And he probably had a battle with what he thought. But what none of that rang a certain sound. None of that gave a certain sound. None of that rang a bell. He wanted to hear from God himself. How about the apostle and prophet Paul, to which most of the New Testament was penned by? He was on the road to Damascus one day, and he had letters to from the church bishop, and he was making. Oh, friends, he thought he was right. He had all these creeds and dogmas and teachings. He said, "I wasn't just a Pharisee; I was a Pharisee of Pharisees." He said, "You know, if you thought you were a Pharisee, I was a better Pharisee. I was a more strict adherent to the Pharisee doctrine than you were." And so he absolutely, in his mind, was following a leading, listening to other voices, no doubt, because everybody's in agreement. Everybody's high-fiving them. Yeah, Saul, this is what you ought to do. These guys, you know, they're speaking in tongues, or they're holy rollers, or, you know, they're talking about this this rabbi that they say was the son of God, and, you know, they've got this Jesus movement that's followed up after that. They're a bunch of heretics and holy rollers and all these different things, and you just need to go and stamp them out. Well, he was going forward to stamp this out gleefully. He absolutely thought he was doing the right thing. So he was on his way to wipe out these holy rollers. To arrest them and to put them out of commission once and for all, to stamp out this heresy that had raised up in the land. But right about noon, while he was, I almost wiped my face, gave myself something. No. Right about noon, while he was on the road, a voice from heaven spoke and said, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus." Yes. "It's hard. Why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." He was knocked off of his high horse, down to the ground, and his vision, you know, he was struck blind. Whether it was a temporary thing or not, we know that the blindness was lifted. But what I'm saying is, we don't know if it was just a temporary thing or if he was literally blind and needed something supernatural to take place. But nevertheless, he was told a literal voice spoke to him from a cloud, and others heard it at the time. And he was told to go to a certain place, and a prophet, this prophet Agabus, would come and pray for him. And of course, God had to speak to this prophet first, and or separately from Paul, and tell him to go pray for Saul and lay hands on him. He'd receive the Holy Ghost. And he said, are you sure? This is a guy he's a troublemaker, you know. Why would we do that? He don't believe in you. He's a foremost persecutor. Why would we do this? And that voice spoke to him again. Now, that's the key. He recognized that voice. He'd heard that voice, and whether it made sense to him or not, friends, when you hear the voice of God in your life, you'll follow the voice of God. You don't need a medical explanation. You don't need to go listen to this expert, this guy out in Kern County, California, that doesn't know what's going on in the rest of the country, this person over here, this person over there. You're not listening to that. You have no need to listen to that. What does it have to do with you? So he's listening, and he hears this voice, and he goes, this is the same voice I've been following. I don't understand. Doesn't make sense to me that I'm supposed to go pray for this guy, but I'm gonna be obedient. And of course, Saul came to him. We know the story. Saul was prayed for. His sight was restored. He received the Holy Ghost. And after 3 days, his sight was restored. He received the Holy Ghost. And then he went and spent time with the disciples. And he began immediately preaching Christ, the Son of God. And people were amazed. So when you hear the voice of God, it always changes you. You cannot be the same. Now, I can listen to some doctor with an agenda out in Kern County, California, and it won't change me. Except maybe cause me to have a little bit more of an attitude, but I'd probably had an attitude beforehand. I could listen to this one. I could listen to that one. But those things don't change you. Those are just discussions. It's like Mars Hill. When people went to Mars Hill, they said, well, what do you think? And, well, we believe this God. We believe that one. And here's a bus to this one. And here's one to that one. And here's one to the unknown God, the one that, just in case we missed one, we want to put one up there. But it didn't change any of them. But then Paul came to that place one day and he said, you know what? I perceive that you're all too superstitious. And he said, the one that you said here, the unknown God, that's the true God. And that's the one that I preach. And that's the one that's speaking. And that's the one that's delivering. That's the one that's vindicating. That's the one that's dealing with signs and wonders, but there's a voice that always comes and follows after those signs, those scriptural signs. So if you hear the voice of God, it'll change you, and it'll change you forever. So Saul went from being, you talk about 180 degrees. How do you turn any further into another direction than Saul did to Paul? Because he was a foremost persecutor of the true church of the living God to becoming the apostle to the Gentiles. How about Peter? Peter was on top of a roof one time, and he was hungry. He was wanting to eat, and he laid up there on a sheet on top of the roof. They'd go up there because it was cooler during the day. Excuse me, down at the bottom of the house, it would heat up during the day, so you go up to the top of the roof, and a lot of times you'd have your meals up there. And so he was up there, and fell asleep. He had a dream or a vision, and this sheet came down from heaven, and there were all kinds of unclean beasts, and he was told to, you're hungry, partake of these things. And he says, oh no, not me. I know better than that. We were told not to touch any kind of an unclean thing and not eat of it. But a voice spoke to him, said, don't you call something unclean. If I call it clean, oh friends, think about it. It was in the scriptures. It was in the law. Don't eat something that was strangled. Don't eat pork. Don't eat this and don't eat that. It was, you could point to it under the old covenant. You could point to it and show that we weren't supposed to do this. But now they're under a new covenant. And the same voice that said, don't do it in the Old Testament is now saying, don't you call it unclean. If I call it clean, don't you call it unclean. And so next thing you know, Peter, there's a man named Cornelius that comes looking after him. And of course, Peter is given the interpretation, and he recognizes that he's supposed to go to the Gentiles. And he was told, prior to this, They weren't supposed to mix. They weren't supposed to company with people that weren't Jews. They were supposed to be segregated. They were supposed to be separate. But here's the thing, friends. It was the same voice. It was the same voice that spoke to him on the Sea of Galilee. It was the same voice that that he heard speaking from the cross. And now that very same voice is speaking to him once again. And he recognizes that voice. And that voice said, I call this clean. I'm not going to explain it to you. I'm not going to give you all the details. I'm just telling you, don't call this. I'm calling it clean. So go to them. And he did. And we realized that the Gentiles began to come in as a result. So he was listening for a voice. So friends, you know, it's actually more normal than not to hear from God, to hear the voice of God. But we're living in an age and a time that's so frantic, and there's so many distractions and so many detours, so many things to pull us this way and that way. And there's so many voices out there. I mean, even just amongst religions, there's, you know, when you say I'm a Jew, you have to qualify that. Well, are you an Orthodox Jew, or are you a Messianic Jew, or, you know, what kind of Jew are you? And it's even worse when you get to Christianity. Well, I'm a Christian. Well, what kind? You know, what's your faith? Oh, I didn't realize there was more than one faith. You know, you have to come up with all these adjectives to describe, you know, what kind of a Christian that you are. Even as Muslims, you know, we see many people come over here, and, you know, you'll see you've got the two different main sects in the Middle East that are fighting with one another, and the Shiites and the other ones, and you see some that they dress in these burqas, and the women, all you can see is their eyes, maybe behind a veil, and then you see women that are Muslim here in America, and they'll wear a scarf and, you know, cover up their just maybe cover up the top of their head, and they wear makeup, and then from the neck down they look like a prostitute. Okay, so what kind of a Muslim is that? Right? And I'm not picking on Muslims. I brought up Christianity. You know, there are so many voices. Which one's right? There's only one that's right. So it's actually more normal to hear from God than to not hear from God. But it turns out his voice is not the loudest. Let me just touch on this for a moment. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They heard the voice. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden." Not "I saw you coming." "I heard your voice. And I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself." Now notice what the Lord says in return. "Who told you? What other voice did you hear?" Okay, you heard my voice, but what other voice were you listening to? "That thou wast naked, hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" So friends, when we are separated from the Lord by sin, we fear hearing his voice. And actually, that's the beginning of wisdom. And so that's why so much of the time, when the presence of the Lord would come, when the angel of the Lord would come amongst the people, the first thing that would be said was, "Fear not, I am sent from the presence of the Lord," or it's an angel of the Lord. So every son and daughter of God, they must hear the voice of God personally. It's not just for some of us to hear the voice of God. Now, I don't say that you're going to hear an audible voice. You might not, but that's not what's important. It's the voice of God speaking to you personally, and you know that it's not your voice, and you know that it's not the voice of the devil, and you know that it's not your neighbor's voice, and you know that it's not some medical expert's voice, or medical non-expert's voice, or whatever. you know that God is speaking to you personally. So it's not just for some people to hear his voice. That's the condition that we found ourselves in this day, is that there's so few people that are actually, even ministers, there's so few that are actually hearing the voice of God, that people just assume that, well, it's only for some people to hear the voice of God. God's only speaking to certain ones, and then those people will come and tell us. Well, no, every one of us has to hear from God ourselves. The scripture says, those that are born of the Spirit of God are led of the Spirit of God. Now, how are you going to be led of his Spirit if you don't recognize his Spirit? Listen to this from John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Notice that, sheep. It doesn't say some of the sheep,
right,
or part of the sheep. The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. See how personal this is? It's not just for some people to have a personal experience. Every one of us has to know. Every one of us has to hear when he calls our name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Well, how do they know? Because they have an ear to hear. Because they came from God. Because they're born again of the Spirit of God. Friends, you actually hear the voice of God before you ever got saved. Now, how could I say that? Because no man can come to God except the Father first draw you. Well, how's he going to draw you if you can't hear?
Sure.
So before you accept him as your Savior, you have to hear.
Right.
He has to draw you. It's natural to hear from God. But we listen to so many other things. I'm not saying you personally. I'm just saying man in general is so focused and so enthusiastic so much of the time. And will argue to the death over things they don't even understand themselves. If you want to argue something, argue the truth. And we have the truth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth into some other way, that same is a thief and a robber, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow. Now, friends, we all followed strangers at one time. But once you've heard that voice, you know who the great shepherd is. Now you're not going to follow a stranger. But will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them. But they understood not what these things were which he spake unto them. And thankfully, he goes and explains it to them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. So he's telling us that there's going to be some leaders that get amongst us that are going to try to lead you some other way. And they have the wrong motive. They have the wrong objective. They've come to take rather than to give. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So how are you going to go? How are you going to enter in without meeting the door? Because the door has to greet you. The door has to welcome you. The door has to bring you in and acknowledge you're one of my sheep. I'm the good shepherd. Excuse me. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. And I don't want them to just have life and endure it somehow. That they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. They know me. As the Father knoweth me, even so I, the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So the Father knows me, I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep have I. Excuse me. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. That's us, the Gentiles. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Isn't that wonderful, friends? Oh, blessed be his wonderful name. Well, Brother Baker, I've never heard his voice. Well, he wants you to hear his voice. Yes. Friends, every time we come together for the preaching of the word, you're hearing his voice. It's his word. It's not our word. You say, well, I hear your voice. Well, sure, you're going to hear my voice sometimes too, or a lot of times, depending on how much, what kind of a gift that we have in our lives. But God wants to speak to you, and he speaks to you from his word. And you're walking alone with him. Jesus came, in closing here, Jesus came to a tomb one day where his friend Lazarus had laid for 4 days. So he was beyond dead. He was, the scripture says he was starting to smell. He was decaying because he was laying in the grave. And Lazarus' sister said, Lord, you know, we sent for you. What took you so long? You know, if you'd have been here, my brother would have lived. He wouldn't have died. And of course, the Lord was grieved. And as a man, the shortest scripture in the Bible, Jesus wept. And you say, I don't have a mind to memorize scripture. Well, there's one for you. Jesus wept. Right. Test at 11 now. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would have lived. Jesus went and stood before the tomb. He said, take me to where it's at. And then he told the sisters, he told them to roll the stone away, showing that they had something that they needed to do. And everything was working just perfectly as we were talking about the wheels turning, God's time working just as it was supposed to work. He wasn't late. He was supposed to be there on that fourth day. And what this was foreshadowing was the resurrection of the saints, those that are asleep in Christ, because surely every one of them has decomposed. And yet he's able to pull them out of the grave to speak because he's the voice of resurrection. And that voice spoke. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, can you imagine Lazarus? He'd went over to the other side, and he's in this place called Paradise, and he's no doubt having a testimony meeting. He's no doubt discussing, I was his friend. There's others that have been coming over, and there's great turmoil, or not turmoil in the sense of a bad thing, but in this good place, this good part, the upper Sheol, and there's lower Sheol where there's lots of murmuring and noise and lots of sad sounds coming from. But in this other place, it's a great gathering place, and there was so much that was going on while Jesus was walking on the earth, and sons and daughters are passing on, and they're coming going over to the other side, and they're having testimony services, and you know, no doubt the some of the Old Testament believers are getting acquainted, and they're testifying of what they saw and what they heard, so they're getting it firsthand. But these are new souls, new arrivals, and they're just showing up. So I could imagine, you know, it wasn't a sorrowful time for Lazarus when he crossed over, because now he's speaking to Abraham, and he's speaking to Ezekiel, and he's speaking to Adam and Moses and all these different ones that are on the other side, and they're saying, you know, tell me about it. What is he like? Is he like what I said he was? Is he that wheel that was in the middle of the wheel, as Ezekiel said? And no doubt they're oh, it's a wonderful time that they're having. Then all of the sudden, Lazarus hears a voice. And the voice calls out his name, because he knows you by name. And that voice says, Lazarus, come forth. And the prophet of God said that if he hadn't have said Lazarus, if he would have just said come forth, all of those that were on the other side were waiting and listening, and they would recognize that voice. And they would have all come forth, as they will at another time. Or those being the Old Testament saints, they did come forth when Jesus resurrected. But they're going to come back in this other resurrection, and they're going to come back and pick up bodies with the New Testament believers. So he heard a voice. Now, friends, if you don't recognize his voice now, how are you going to recognize his voice when you're gone? If you can't hear his voice now, how are you going to hear it when you leave this body? Because it's not this body that's going to hear his voice. You say, I got hearing aids. You won't need them. Well, I was born deaf. Doesn't matter. Because he's not speaking to your flesh, speaking to your spiritual being, to your soul, that part of you that came from God. He said, my sheep know my voice. You will hear. All the dead will hear when that voice speaks and says, come forth. We believe that this morning. So it's that's why so many people, I think, marvel at the thought of a resurrection. They marvel at the thought of the rapture, and there's so much scrounging to squeeze out another revelation or some other teaching, or because people, they're not hearing his voice now, and so they're wondering, well, how am I going to hear that voice? Well, if you're walking with him now, if he's speaking with you now, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, "I," as we mentioned on Wednesday, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And if I go to prepare a place, I'll come back, that where I am, I'll take you to be with me. Amen. So we have that assurance. The same one that's leading us and guiding us is the same one that if we go to sleep in the Lord, that he'll call us forth. We have that assurance. So there's a rest that comes. I'm not worried about, well, how is this going to happen? Or, you know, there's many more of us that have already went into the graves. And no doubt they know less of the word than you do, because the word was lost throughout the ages. But yet they're going to hear when he calls. They're going to hear. Well, how's that going to happen? I don't know. I don't know all the exact details, the ins and outs. And he's kept a lot of these things secret, because Satan would do great damage if these things were made known. But the faith will be there, and you'll hear and you'll respond, because you're hearing his voice now. And as I said, friends, it's not strange to hear the voice of God. It's not odd to hear the voice of God. But yet, if you say that you hear the voice of God, you're labeled as a fanatic. How is it that it's become fanatical to be led by God, to know his voice? When he said, my sheep know my voice, another they will not follow. So, those that hear his voice in the last day, they'll follow him. And they'll hear that voice, whether in the rapture or the resurrection. And it's the same voice that they're listening to along the way. But we have to get quiet. We have to get still. As many times, you know, there are people that don't believe in the Pentecostal experience and don't believe in any of the things that we were told that were going to be restored back to the church. So they want to focus on, well, it's a still small voice, and you know, he wasn't in the lightning and he wasn't in the thunder and this and that, but he's in the still small voice. We believe in that. We absolutely believe in that. But we also believe that he's in these other things as well. It's not mutually exclusive. He still speaks, still manifests himself, but it will be a still small voice in your life as he's leading you and guiding you. And the things, the voices, the other voices that are out there, they're desperate. They're desperate to be heard. And they reason, and you know, they may even sound sincere. But every one of those voices, the purpose of those voices is to get you to where you're not hearing the voice that you're supposed to hear. But it's the same voice that speaks to you when you're converted, when you receive the Holy Ghost. It's the same voice that ministers the word. So if you've heard that voice, then you won't attack the ministers that God has put into place to minister to you. It's not that they're any better than you, but and they won't attack you either. So it's that same voice that's speaking. And if you hear his voice, you know it. And if you're not hearing his voice, you become a skeptic. And then you begin to tell other people in the church, well, you know, I don't believe this, I don't believe that, and how do you know this, and how do you know that? And the next thing you know, you're listening to this voice, and that voice, and the other voice, and or maybe you're the voice. But if you've heard that voice, that's the thing, friends. The only way we can ever be in one mind and one accord is to hear one voice.
Yes.
Amen? And I believe we're hearing that voice as it speaks in this hour. We need to be sure that we're hearing his voice in this hour. Amen? It's not... Now, it may take effort. You may have to wait to hear his voice. But once you've heard his voice, you want to hear his voice daily. You want to hear his voice every step of the way. You don't want to presume. You don't want to, you know, go and do this or do that without his leading.
Right.
Because you know, if you're following his leading, no matter how it turns out, it's going to turn out right. That the Lord is going to be with you, and he's going to take you to the other side. Amen. Let's stand this morning. You love him? Hallelujah. We want to get deeper in this thought and some services to come, but we'll pull over here this morning. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we stand before you this morning, Lord, I for one just want to tell you how thankful I am. Lord, what a life-changing thing it was for me to hear your voice. Lord, I used to give my testimony of, and I would say it like this, that when you came and spoke to me and revealed yourself to me personally, you turned my life upside down. You turned my world upside down. But really, my life was upside down. But you turned me right side up. Lord, I began to see things in the way that you intended for me to see things, and began to know you as not some distant, detached deity that I had to be afraid of, that I was going to meet one day and that I would get what I deserved. But Lord, I began to know you as my father, and myself as your son. And then, Lord, you began to introduce me to more of your children. And Lord, ever since I've heard your voice, ever since you've come and changed me, Lord, I've never been the same. I may not
be everything that I want to be, but I sure, Lord, I'm sure not what I used to be. And Lord, I'm confident that when you say yes, it's the best thing. And when you say no, it's the best thing. I'm confident, Lord, that your ways are the best ways. Your ways are the right ways. I also know, Lord, that your ways are the harder ways many times. But there's a great reward, not only in the life to come, but in this life, Lord, from following your leading and your guidance. And that's our desire, Lord. We want your will to be done in our lives. Father, in this season that we're in right now, we realize that it's a shaking time, and it's a time of mercy, because it's causing those that are shook and their foundation falls away to realize that they don't have the sure foundation. But it's not too late. It's not too late to find that sure foundation, to be set upon that rock, the revelation of Jesus Christ to each one of us personally. Lord, we're not telling people to seek after a gift or to seek after something that they imagine in their mind that would be supernatural. What we're trying to lead your people to do, Lord, is to seek you, to hear your voice. We know that you're faithful, Lord. We know that you won't lead anyone astray. And we know, Lord, that I wondered, and perhaps most of us did. We wondered, well, how will I know your voice when I hear it? How will I know that it's you? But Lord, just as when you spoke to Saul, he knew. Just as when you spoke to Moses, just when you spoke to Isaiah, Daniel, all these other examples that we brought up, Lord, it's the same way with each and every one of us. You said, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. You're the great shepherd. You're the door. And we can't come into the sheepfold but by you. And then, Lord, you tell us, those that hear your voice, that you come and you knock at the door of our heart, Lord, in this last age. And that if we'll hear your voice and open the door and invite you to come in, you'd come in and sup with us and us with you. That's a personal walk. That's a personal experience. Lord, in these times that where shaking is going on, where there's disquiet, where there's wondering, Lord, to the true believer, we're not shook by this. We're not, it's not causing us to doubt or to question. Because, Lord, you're still speaking. You're still leading. You're still guiding. You're the one that started this work. You're the one that's going to finish it. You know the way. And you're going to lead us safely through to the other side. So, Lord, we want to remain steadfast. And we want to seek your face, Lord, daily. We want to just, Lord, if we've cooled off a little bit, thank you for bringing this to our attention this morning, Lord. Because there's an opportunity, if we've cooled off a little bit, if we've listened to other voices, if we're seeking other things to bring pleasure into our life because, Lord, there's something missing. Thank you for reminding us, Lord. Thank you for bringing this to the forefront, so Lord, we can check up, see where we're at. We can seek you while there's still time. I pray that your blessings be upon each and every one. I pray that you minister to each and every heart, Lord. Draw us all closer to you, Lord. But Lord, realizing that it's on us to get into your presence and to wait to hear from you. Lord, we don't want to have one-sided conversations. We want it to be a two-way conversation. Lord, as any love affair is in the natural, if in that relationship only one did all the talking, you kind of wonder how that relationship could grow, how the bond could deepen. So, Lord, we thank you that we don't have to be afraid. We thank you, Lord, that come what may, we can be led by you and to hear your voice. I pray, Lord, that just continue to draw each and every one close to you, Lord. Father, may we be examples in this time and in this hour. Lord, we're looking for the time to come when this virus has run its course. Lord, that we can get back together, and may it be soon, Lord, we pray. And Father, whether it's soon or not, we will continue to be about your business. We'll continue to do what we know to do. And we're trusting in you, Lord. Our faith is in you. No fear. Pray that your blessings would be upon each and every one now, Lord, as we commit each one into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Do you love him? Amen. To the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on that he gave.